Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right. Hey, thanks to our worship team for kind of getting us going, getting our minds focused, getting our hearts focused here, and ready to jump in this morning. I want to start by saying, how did everybody sleep? But I feel like the more honest question is, did anybody sleep last night? Okay. All right. Now maybe I'm hearing, yes, we slept, but maybe how much we slept is it might vary. It might vary by cabin. Maybe I should check with cabin leaders to get the actual truth about who slept. Hey, so last night when we got started and all of the things that I was wanting to share, I missed a couple of things that I wanted to point out. A couple things that I always love when I come back up here for camp. And the first thing was, one of the things I always look forward to when I'm up here is the video that they play that the staff puts together to the song, and everybody's like got choreography. Who likes that? Who enjoys seeing that? That is, I mean, as if the camp staff didn't have like 5 billion other things that they needed to do and to work on and get ready for you guys. They put in, I'm just assuming, a lot of hours making that video, like with all of the different places in camp. So I always love seeing that. This is going back years and years and years. There was one video that it was just one continuous shot, and everybody just kept doing all this like amazing stuff. It was so cool. It blew my mind. So that's the one thing I always look forward to. The other thing I always look forward to, and this is kind of silly, but I always love the design that they come up with every year for like the shirt, like the camp shirt for every summer. And so the shirt always is different, but I always love the shirt design. So like shout out to these things that are kind of like low-key underrated, but I always think help make camp what it is. So how many of you all are like, I got to get the shirt every time I come to camp? How many of y'all are doing that? Okay, so it must have changed a little bit over a few years. So my daughter, when she started coming to camp regularly, there was one year, I think it was like 2015, and so she signed up for camp, and for some reason we didn't select the shirt, and Amy, you remember this, she like lost her mind. Like she got up here, we're like, oh, you can just buy the shirt when you get there. Well, no, you couldn't, because they were like completely sold out, and she never let us forget that. She got home, and so like the next year, and it was just like, make sure you check the shirt. Like she would not let us forget about that. So just shout out to some stuff that's going on here at camp. So, all right, are we ready? We ready to jump in? Okay. Hey, who remembers what our word was for last night? All right, okay, so you guys are still tracking. Now, that's just one word. At some point, we're going to have 8, 9, 10 words, so we got to make sure our memory stays fresh here. So, yes, last night's word was joy, and we talked about the difference between joy and what? You guys are sharp. By the end of the week, I'm going to be ready to take y'all back with me to my school, because you guys are paying attention and you guys are following what's going on. So I appreciate you guys paying attention. All right. So let's keep moving in Philippians. We don't have as many verses as we had last night. So we've got verses 12 through 18. Then we'll talk a little bit about it, and then we'll send you guys on your way. Okay. Verse 12. Paul's still going. He was talking about this joy that he receives from them and their partnership together as they are following Jesus together and the joy that comes from that. Verse 12. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here, where's here?
Jail.
Okay. Everything that's happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Every time we see good news, we're talking about the good news about who Jesus is. The good news that Jesus was crucified, which to people back then is going to sound weird. Like, how is that good news that this guy that you follow was executed? And they're like, well, the good news is that he was executed, but then he was raised from the dead, and that's why it freaked people out back then. Because that wasn't something that people even thought was a possibility. And they're like, why are you talking about this? This is disturbing. They're like, no, this is good news because Jesus was crucified on our behalf and was raised from the dead. So anytime we see good news, that's the good news that they are talking about there. For everyone here, be in jail, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice. Okay. Now, we've already picked up, we've already talked a little bit about this. Last night, we said Paul's writing this letter from jail, and we said, like, how can somebody be writing something from jail and have joy? And we talk through some of that stuff, and he references being in jail in these verses, but you notice what he doesn't say? Because he writes with joy, he doesn't say, this place is the worst, jail's the worst, I hate it. They don't have Wi-Fi, and they don't have, like, super spicy hot Takis. And they don't have, they don't even give me like a Nido to like play with and like, you know, sit there and squeeze and pass the time. How many of y'all, by the way, just because I'm around 7th and 8th grader, how many of y'all, like, just be honest with me, okay? How many of y'all like show up to class and you literally pull like 3 or 4 of those things out and you sit on your desk and you just sit there and like, okay, I appreciate your honesty, okay, because I was beginning to think I was crazy, and this was just like a Winona Lake, Indiana thing, so it's good to know that it's not just happening there. I had students that were like, and it never ends. They just pull out, here, this one's a cube, and then this one is shaped like a piece of fruit, and this one is shaped like something else, and then they just like, they have it all lined up there, and I'm like, you got to put your books and stuff on the desk at some point here, so you got to move the needos aside and make room for that. But Paul isn't talking about, oh, this is the worst. He keeps talking positively, and he keeps talking about good stuff that's going on. And he's talking about this good stuff that was happening while he was in jail and sharing that good news that we keep talking about. And then when he talks about these people in those verses, if you caught it, these people who are preaching and talking about good news, let's kind of take some of the fanciness out of that word preaching. Like when we hear preaching, we tend to think of like somebody like me standing up on a stage and people sitting out in that. Preaching simply means that you are proclaiming about something that you are super interested or passionate about. And if that's the definition we're talking about, every single person in this room has preached about something probably this past week. Meaning if there is something that is super, super passionate to you and something that you are super duper interested in and excited about, you have been proclaiming about that to somebody else. Maybe at some point you have worn a parent out talking about this one thing over and over and over, and you are fixated on it, and you keep talking about this one thing over and over, and your parent like, you literally got to quit talking about this. Like, I'm done. I don't have any more space to hear you talking about this. Everybody in this room has been proclaiming about something. These people just happen to be proclaiming about Jesus because that's what they are passionate about. And Paul says, okay, we've got two groups of people who are proclaiming about Jesus, and he's like, we've got one group over here that they are preaching with the right motive. They're preaching with the right heart. And then we have another group that they're not preaching with the right motive or the right heart. And we're going to get into a couple of reasons why they might be talking about Jesus for different reasons here in a minute. But you already have the built-in ability to proclaim about stuff. So regardless if you're like, I don't really like being in front of people and talking about stuff or giving a speech, and that makes me very, very nervous, and I'd rather like crawl under a rock somewhere than get up on stage in front of a bunch of people. You proclaim a bunch of stuff. My son Ryan is one of those people who'd rather not talk to anybody. That's why he just got a job this summer working overnight at Kroger putting groceries on shelves, because he doesn't have to talk to anybody. He can just take the can out of the box and put it on the shelf, and he's living his best life. However, if I ask him the right question about the right thing that he's passionate about, look out. He will give you 20 to 30 minutes uninterrupted about something. So everybody in here has got that. Does that make sense? So when we say preaching, don't just think of it as like, this is the guy who gets up on stage and gives a sermon. That can include that, but it just means you are talking about something you're passionate about. Okay, so we've got these two people, and that brings us to our first question, which is always, what? All right, our question for this morning is motivation. Our question for this morning is motivation. Paul's talking about these people have a motive for what they're doing. So our word is going to be motivation. Now, when we talk about motivation, that can, depending on context, depending on how the word is used in a sentence, it can have a different meaning. So motivation can mean the reason you do what you're doing. A couple years ago, I was asked if I could be an assistant coach for our middle school soccer team. Now, ask me how much experience I have playing soccer. Zero. I'll take that back. I played intramural indoor soccer in college because I worked in the cafeteria at my school, and we put together a team. But that didn't mean I knew what I'm doing, okay? But they asked me if I would be an assistant coach. The real reason behind it is because we had two teams, and there was about 35 team members on both teams when you added it up, and we only had one coach. And they're like, we can't have one guy being in charge of over 30 kids on a soccer team. So they needed another adult to kind of help, and that's fine. I was okay with that. Over the course of the year, I'm learning little bits and pieces about soccer, but what I ended up being was the guy that gave the motivational speech, because I didn't know what I was talking about with soccer. So I would just try to like get them fired up before a match. And so I did that for 1 year, and I would just try to come up with the most ridiculous thing just to get them fired up and getting ready to go out and play. So that was the motivation there. I would come up with some sort of like crazy speech to get them all like crazy and fired up, and they'd be like, let's go! And then I'll run out on the field and like take off and go after everybody. So that's one type of motivation. Another motivation can be like, I'm eager to do something. Like, I'm internally motivated to get out and do something today. Like, I want to get out and do this. Like, some of you all do do athletics and do sports over the over the summer. And so you're motivated to get better at a certain sport. Like, maybe you spent the summer, if you're a baseball player, you've been playing, or you've been working on a certain part of your game. Like, if you're a pitcher, you're trying to work on, you know, like control and hitting different spots in the plate. If you're a batter, you're trying to get better at hitting like difficult pitches, or like if you're a base runner, you're trying to get better at your timing to like get a good takeoff from first to second. If you're a basketball player, maybe this summer you're trying to work on your free throws, but you are internally motivated to do something. Or it can also mean there's a force that causes us to do something. Like, I'm motivated. Some of you are like, how many of you all are like, I'm motivated because I'm motivated to do this certain thing because if I don't do it, then there's going to be trouble with mom or dad. Is that it? Sometimes that's your motivation? That's okay, be honest. I need to drag these trash cans out to the street because trash goes out tomorrow. And my motivation is, if I don't do that, then I'm going to lose some privileges for the week because I didn't get the trash out on time. So there's like a force that gives us our motivation. All right, hopefully you're still with me. I realize that not everybody in this room has entered into teenage years. How many of y'all are at least 13 or older? How many of you are going to turn 13 this school year? Okay, so some of y'all are like, so I realize not every single person in here is a teenager yet, but you are heading into that season. And so just out of curiosity, I looked up, what are teenagers motivated by? So even if you're 11 or 12, you might still find yourself in these categories. These are some things that teenagers are motivated by. The first category over here is this need for autonomy. You heard that word before, autonomy? Do you know what that means? Autonomy means you are self-governing, meaning I make my own decisions. I'm big enough to do what I want. I can make my own choices on stuff. Don't tell me what to wear to school tomorrow. I'm old enough. Autonomy. We want to make our own decisions. How many of y'all are already there? How many are like, I'm 11, I'm already there. I'm already want to make my own decisions. And how many, and then that comes in conflict with a parent that's just like, you need to let me help you make your decision because you tried making that decision yesterday and it didn't work out well for you. So we want to make our own decisions, and so we're motivated by that, and we're motivated by respect. Nobody in this house respects me. I have it. I have important things to say. Every time I open my mouth, you're like, we don't want to hear it. Somebody respect me. Somebody needs to respect me in this classroom. I know this answer, and nobody asked me about this stuff. We want to be respected. Nobody respects me out on this basketball court. I've been wide open the past 5 trips down the court, and nobody passes the ball to me. I want to be respected. So we're motivated by that. Check out this middle column. So this one's big. And I realize a lot of us are heading back to school here in a few weeks. But we are motivated by our peers, and we're motivated by this idea of belonging to a. How many of you are changing, maybe just because like you've aged out of it, or maybe because you've relocated? How many of you guys are headed to a new school this year, a new school building here in a few weeks? Okay, like, maybe you're starting in with a new group of people, and so you're trying to figure out what's your crew. Who do I belong to? Who do I belong with? And so I'm motivated to find this group that I fit in with. And that can be exhausting, but we're motivated to find that, to have this social identity. And we're going to start, like, at this is that age where we're starting to find those things, and these things become super important. Who do I hang out with? Who are my friends? Am I part of this group? Am I part of that group? Well, I'm part of this group, but I want to be part of that group. How do I get in over there? And so we're motivated to get into these different social circles. We have this desire to fit in, these things that are going to influence our other choices. Do you know how crazy it is for me as an old guy every year to watch how things change inside of middle school within the calendar year? Okay, so a few years ago, the students that I had in 7th and 8th grade that are now sophomores and juniors in high school, I swear I came back from Christmas and every girl in my classroom had the following thing. They walked in with like the giant Stanley Cup with the straw sticking out of it. They all had that, and they all had the, this is me sound like an old man, just bear with me. They were all wearing the like Uggs, clogs, or whatever. Am I saying that the right way? That they all came in with matching drink cups and matching shoes. I'm like, what is going on? Did y'all like get together and coordinate over Christmas? Like, okay, everybody has to put a Stanley Cup in the clouds and we'll all wear them. Okay, and that was 1 year. Do you know what happened the next year? The next year, like, I wouldn't want a Stanley Cup anymore. Everybody's drinking all Walla. Yeah. So it's just like every year we go to our parents and we're like, okay, this year I want this $35 cup to take to school. And now, oh, no one drinks out of that anymore. What are you, a dinosaur? Everybody's drinking out of an Awala. I need that $35. So it changes, but there's this weird thing in middle school that if you don't have the right thing, then there must be something wrong with you. Anybody feel seen at this point? Anybody feel heard at this point? So we see these things happen, and we see, like, I talked about this last year. When I was going into eighth grade, everybody. You weren't anybody unless you showed up wearing Jordan 5s. You guys know what Jordan 5s are? All right, look it up later. It was Jordan 5s because they didn't even call them Jordan 5s. They were just Air Jordans because it was 1990 and it happened to be the fifth version of the Air Jordan shoe. Now we call them Jordan 5s because they're retro. But everybody was wearing the grape Jordan 5s. Just going to leave it at that. And you weren't anybody unless you showed up wearing grape Jordan 5s. And so I didn't have grape Jordan 5s, and so I felt weird. And I told my mom, like, I don't have the grape Jordan 5s. She's like, those are $120. We're not doing it. So there's this desire to fit in and the stuff that's going to influence what we do, our hobbies, our choices. And there's a motivation behind that. And some point this year, I promise you, you're going to find yourself saying some version of this to mom or dad. You'll be like, you don't understand. I got to have this because everybody else has this. There's a motivation behind this. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? And then look over here, this identity, this purpose. These are all kind of like bundled together. If you think about it, who am I? Like, who am, like, what is my reason for being here? Like, who am I supposed to be? What am I going to start to, like, ask your cabin leader. When if your cabin leader is currently going to college, when they had to start, they're going to start, okay, most of your cabin leaders are going to be like, well, at some point, probably around my sophomore, junior, high school, I had to start thinking about, well, what do I want to do when I get out of high school? Because I'm not going to be in high school forever. Now I got to start, who am I? What's my purpose? So these are all these reasons that we are motivated to do something. And I think Paul is talking about this first one, this reason that we, why do we do what we do? What are these people's motives for doing this? So, and Paul says there's those two kinds. There are people who have good motives or pure motives and those who do not. Now, I'm going to guess everybody here in this room has done something for the wrong motive. You have done something for the wrong reason. This was a thing I used to do in my house when I was your all's age. It would usually start with this thing, with this statement. I would say, Mom, you know you're the best, right? You know what my mom would usually say? What do you want? Anybody feel seen? Anybody got that experience? Like, Mom, you're the best. What do you want? So what's my motive there? My motive isn't to prop my mom up and be like, Mom, you're the best. Even if I did actually think my mom was the best, my mom was used to it at that point. Be like, what do you want? What do you need? What do we got to go get? What's new that you feel like you have to go, that you need to drag me to the store and make me shell out the money that I work for so that you can enjoy that? So, like, that's an impure motive. My motive isn't just to tell my mom she's awesome and I don't need anything from that. It's like, Mom, if I told you you're the best, what do you want? And there, I mean, 99 times out of 100, there was definitely something that I wanted. So, but we all think that we can just kind of like slide that in and like, you know, butter our parents up and then notice, man, oh, you're the best kid. Let's go get in the car. I'm going to spend $100 on you just because you're so awesome. Yeah. So, because it's been a long time. I said this last night. It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away when I was in middle school. But again, middle school hasn't changed that much. And we still do a lot of things for the wrong motives. Let me give you an example here. So, when I was in seventh grade, I had a good friend who was in eighth grade, and his name was Chad. And Chad had my mom as a teacher in sixth grade, and he and my mom, even to this day, have a really special relationship. He almost calls, he pretty much calls my mom his mom, almost like his second mother. And so Chad, it would start early in the week, and Chad would be like, hey, why don't you see if I can come hang out this weekend over at your house? And I was cool with that because Chad was an eighth grader and I was a seventh grader, and that's cool if you're hanging out with an eighth grader. Like, whoa, you must be big stuff if you got an eighth grader coming over and hanging out at your house. So I go home and be like, Mom, Chad, is it cool if Chad comes over on like Friday and hangs out here? Now, Chad had a different motive. And his different motive became my different motive. And then we like collaborated on trying to sell my mom with a different motive. And here was the different motive. So Chad, in eighth grade, had a girlfriend, whatever that means, at that point. Chad had a girlfriend named Tasha. And Tasha was good friends with another eighth grade girl named Autumn. Guess where Autumn lived? Right across the street from me. Well, actually, they had to cut through a yard to get over to Autumn's house. She lived in the next neighborhood over. So do you see where the impure motive was? Like, Chad starts by saying, hey, can I come over and hang out with you guys this week? But Chad's motive was to be able to get a chance to go right across the street and get over to Autumn's house where his girlfriend just happened to be staying for that weekend. So do you see? Like, we don't always have the best motives for stuff. And in middle school, probably 99 times out of 100, anything I was doing, I didn't have the right motive for it. And you're probably thinking, yeah, I probably don't have the purest motives for doing what I'm doing. And Paul is going to talk about these people, like, what's our motive? What's our motivation for doing these things? So of course, yeah, Chad would come over, and then we'd be like, "We're gonna go over to Autumn's house and hang out. There's gonna be some people over there, and there's, you know, you're just right over the street." And my mom's like, "Yeah, that's fine." And nothing bad happened, but you just go over there and hang out. But he's just trying to get like an extra, whatever, 3 or 4 hours hanging out with his special lady friend that weekend. But the motive wasn't entirely pure there. So Paul says we got people who teach about Jesus because they love him, both Jesus and they love Paul. So they're like, hey, they're talking about Jesus because they love me and because they love Jesus. But then we've got other people who have impure motives. Why are we talking about Jesus? Paul says that they've got selfish ambition. Because this is a weird thing. Back in those days, what you have to understand about that culture is you didn't have a ton of entertainment options. Your entertainment options were there might be some sort of like Olympic type game going on down at a Coliseum, or there might be some sort of like theater, or, this is going to sound weird, a form of entertainment was you would show up in a market square and people would throw out ideas. People would have like an argument about something, not like a fight between two people, but somebody was trying to persuade you to get to follow what they thought was correct about the world. And so Paul's saying some of these people preach about Jesus because they have selfish ambition and they want an audience. They want people to be like, oh, have you heard that guy get down there and talk about this like weird dude that was crucified and but somehow was resurrected from the dead? I don't believe any of that stuff, but the man sounds great. He can speak so eloquently, and you got to go listen to this dude. It's crazy. So Paul's like, some of these people are doing it because they want an audience. Some of these people are doing it because they want to be popular. They may not necessarily believe any of this stuff about Jesus, but it attracts a crowd, so they're gonna keep going with it. So some people do it for that reason, or because they are jealous. They're jealous because somebody else is talking about Jesus, and they've got people like listening to them. They're like, well, I want people listening to me, so I'm going to talk about him. Does this make sense? I know it sounds very, very weird, but that's kind of how people lived back in those days. Some people were jealous, or there might be a rivalry. In one of Paul's other letters, he talks to a church that became divided over who was the better teacher in the church. This is in the letter of 1 Corinthians, where there are some people like, I like to hear Paul on Sunday morning because he just talks about the gospel. And there's another people like, I like to hear Apollos because he's young and hip and wears Jordan 1s on Sunday. Like, they had all these different reasons because why they like different people. So it could be a rivalry. Like, well, you're not going to one-up me. I'm going to have a better message than you this weekend. Why is this important to talk about our motives? Brings us to question number two. Question two is always going to be, so what? You're probably like, bro, I was at so what like 10 minutes ago. So what? I'm riding on like 2 hours sleep, Kevin. I got to like hold my eyelids open. I'm about to pass out in this chair. So what? What does this matter? This is why it matters. This is why it's important for us to talk about our motivation. Because in every single one of us, regardless of what it is, our motivation is directly connected to our heart. So if I have a selfish motive, what is it saying about my heart? It's saying my heart's selfish. If my motive is because I genuinely want people to hear the good news about Jesus, then it says that my heart has the right motive. If my motive is to manipulate, if my motive is to manipulate my parents about stuff, then it probably says my heart's manipulative. There's a connection between those two. We don't do things independently of what our heart's desire is. Does that make sense? There is a connection between why am I motivated and what's going on in my heart. Again, full transparency. Eighth grade year for me, not a good year. Not a good year. And every square inch of my heart was rotten. And my mom, 10 years after the fact, has told me before, she was like, there was a point where I didn't know if you were going to survive eighth grade. I'm like, yeah, it was hard. She was like, no, meaning there's a good chance I was ready to kill you because of how you were behaving. I don't think she literally meant that, but she was close. Like, I was tired of your stuff, and I'm not sure you literally was going to survive eighth grade because I was going to take you and bury you somewhere. So I wore mom out with it. Now, in ninth grade, I kind of turned a corner. But here's the deal. My motivation wasn't completely pure. You know what my motivation was in ninth grade? At some point, I figured it out that I was like, if I do these things, and these things are, I make sure the grass is mowed. I make sure I do my homework and do okay in school. I make sure I get the trash put out twice a week so it gets picked up. If I just do these things, then I can pretty much do whatever I want over here, and I don't have to deal with any other nonsense from mom and dad. So my motivation was purely, okay, I do this, I get this. Selfish. I do this, I get this. Selfish. I do this, I get to go where I want. Selfish. So that was a direct connection to my heart. My heart was selfish. I was purely driven by what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for me on this? What's in it for me on this? Then I'll do it. And so my motivation was, okay, I do this, I get this. I do this, I get this. But my motivation wasn't right. But it was connected to my heart. So it doesn't matter what it is, our motivation is directly connected to our hearts. If there's something you want in life, it doesn't matter what it is, there's a direct connection between your motivation and your heart. What's your motivation for being at camp here this week? What's your motivation for being here this week? How many of you just fell under this category? You're like, I came last year for the first time. It was awesome. There was no way I was going to miss it this year. How many of y'all, it's okay if that's your reason. I'm no condemnation in Jesus here. No judgment. Okay. You're just like, dude, I came last year kind of on like a whim. It was amazing. I was just like, the only way I'm going to miss camp is if they are burying me somewhere. It's going to be my death that keeps me from being at camp. Okay. How many of you came because your friends bugged you? You got to come to camp this summer. Come on, man. It's the best. I can't believe you. What are you going to do sitting at home this week? What are you going to do? You going to sit inside? Because, there's nothing to do outside. World Cup's going to be over at this point. Why don't you come to camp? How many of you came because your parents thought it would be good for you, but you're like, I don't know about this. I'll go, but it's only because you're making me. Okay, and that's okay. Maybe you're like, that's why I'm here, but ain't no way I'm raising my hand because of that. How many of you, again, I'm not looking for show of hands here. How many of you came because you're like, I had to get away from him or her? And the only way I could get away from him or her was for me to get to camp. That's fine. What's your motivation? How many of you came because, how many of you were like, look, this past year was different for me, and something started changing inside, And I don't know what it is, but I feel like Jesus was starting to like do something in my heart and speak to me. And I don't know what it is. And it's weird. And I feel weird. And people are like, well, you're different, man. I don't know what's going on. And I don't know what it is, but I felt like I needed to be here just because I feel like Jesus is doing something in me. And I'm still figuring out what that is. But I felt like I needed to be here so he's going to help explain what he's doing in my life. Maybe some of you came here for that reason. You remember what Paul said about people's motives? Paul said, we got people who are doing this for the right reasons. We got people who are doing this for the wrong reasons. You know what Paul said at the end of the day? Paul's just like, I don't care. And that's not like, I don't care, like, I don't care, leave me alone. Paul's saying, whatever these people's motives are, if their heart is not in the right place or if their heart is in the right place, Paul said, regardless of that, at the end of the day, either way, Jesus is still being talked about among people. So Paul's like, whether you're in it for the right reasons or not, I don't care because at the end of the day, Jesus is still going to be talked about, and I'm okay with that. Now, Paul would also probably say, now, if your heart is in the wrong place, God will deal with you at some point over that. But until he does, even if you're talking about Jesus with the wrong motives, people are still hearing about Jesus. So he's kind of like saying, you can learn about Jesus from somebody who doesn't have the right motive, but it doesn't change who Jesus is. Does that make sense? Even if somebody's got the wrong heart, Jesus is still the same. So he goes, it doesn't matter what's going on, but it is connected to their hearts. So back to what I said earlier, whatever your motive is for being here at camp, whatever it is that got you here to camp, at this point, it doesn't matter because you're here. And now that you're here, Jesus is going to share something with you at some point this week. If you are remotely listening or remotely paying attention, and it may not have anything to do with what's going on in this chapel, Jesus might reveal something to you out there during a game. Jesus might reveal something to you during a devotion with your cabin leader. Jesus is going to reveal something to you at some point this week. So whatever your reason was for getting here, now that you're here, it doesn't matter what the reason was. Jesus is going to visit you one way or another this week. So as we wrap up this morning, I want us to be thinking about this in our final moments together. So that brings us to question number three, which is now what? Question number three. So here's the question for us to ask ourselves this morning. Jesus, what is my motivation for following you? Jesus, what is my motivation for following you? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why am I doing this? Why am I following Jesus? What's my motivation behind doing this? When I was in your place, when I was your age, I began following Jesus, again, kind of late. Like, I grew up in church, but I didn't really start getting serious about following Jesus until I was a freshman in high school. And again, to be completely transparent, a big motivation for me following Jesus was I would hear, following Jesus, this is the life that's promised you. Not following Jesus, this is the life that was promising. This is promised to you. And I didn't like this. They're like, if you don't follow Jesus, then you'll be eternally separated from God. And I was like, that doesn't sound good. This sounds better. So at the beginning, my motivation for following Jesus was because this option sounded better than this. So my motivation wasn't great at the time, but it has changed over that. But what is my motivation for following Jesus? What's your motivation? Is your motivation to please somebody else? Is your motivation to, like, look, I'm following Jesus because that's just how it works at my house, and my parents expect that of me, or my youth pastor expects that of me? Like, that can be okay for a while or for a moment, But your motivation for following Jesus has to become internal. It can't just be because of an external reason, because, well, this is what mom wants me to do, or because this is what everybody else is doing, this is what everybody in my school does, this is what everybody in my youth group does. It's got to have meaning to you internally. I'm following Jesus because of this reason. Or how many of you are following Jesus? What's your motivation for following Jesus? Is it because Jesus, what Jesus offers us? And this is hopefully where I hope we all eventually land. Am I following Jesus because what Jesus offers me, the life that Jesus offers me, is better than anything I can come up with on my own? Is that my motivation? So, when I first started following Jesus because I don't want the alternative, now it's because I truly believe that the life that Jesus offers me is better than anything I can come up with on my own. So what is my motivation for that? Think about this today. I'm going to pray. Then you guys are going to be dismissed to head to gut time. And be thinking about your motivation for following Jesus today. Let's pray together. Jesus, would you speak to our hearts about what is our motivation for following you? What is our motivation for proclaiming you? And if there is any impure motive in our hearts for following you or for talking about you or for living for you, Jesus, would you go to work on that and help us clean that out so that our motives are like what Paul's talking about, that our motives are pure and that we are following you out of this internal motivation to be made more like you. Not to be the most popular person in seventh grade, not to be the person with all the answers, not to be the person who has the most perfect life, but because we are wanting to be made more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus himself. So, speak to our hearts on that. God, would you bless the rest of this afternoon here for these campers? Thanks for our time here together. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. All right, we'll see you later on.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.